When a mistrial was declared in the Tyco corporate looting case last week, a gasp rippled through the courtroom. It was as if every person sitting there quickly realized that 6 months and untold millions had just been wasted. But if and when there's a second trial, the defense and prosecution are likely to benefit from the lessons learned the first time around. Nancy Solomon reports.
If the army of lawyers on both sides of the Tyco case listened to the jurors, the second trial should be a very different affair. The prosecution spent 4 months presenting 47 witnesses that produced 10,000 pages of transcribed testimony. Juror Mark Glatzer says much of it was overkill.
We were just totally exhausted, so that I think from among the jury members, if there was even a hint that somebody could be found not guilty on something, they would just want to vote not guilty and not even want to discuss it. It was just way too much work. And they spent a lot of time on the excess spending. Most of that was really kind of a waste.
Even so, when jury deliberations began, Glatzer was ready to convict. Former Tyco CEO Dennis Kozlowski and Chief Financial Officer Mark Swartz are accused of stealing $600 million through unauthorized bonuses, perks, and improper stock sales. Glatzer says the deliberations reached a turning point just a day before the mistrial was declared, when they began to compare what Swartz said at different points in his 9 days of testimony.
And then we went out and we heard a lot of his testimony reread, and when we came back in, at that point all 12 jurors said, wow, I didn't hear his testimony for what it was the first time. This time around it just seemed very clear that he was just evading everything and just doing a lot of what we called razzle-dazzle.
The now famous juror number 4, who was named by two newspapers as a holdout for the defense, told CBS she wasn't ready to convict. Ruth Jordan also says she never made the okay gesture that was so widely reported. She accepted the defense's central argument. The executives had no criminal intent because they believed they had the right to take the money.
Even ugly people deserve justice. Even people who have bad habits deserve justice. People who have repellent lifestyles, even greedy people, if they are greedy, even people who have so much they don't know how to spend it and still want more, even they deserve justice when it comes to whether or not they committed a crime.
But in planning for the next trial, the defense and prosecution are likely to focus on the 11 jurors who were ready to convict.
The real problem for the defense is going to be to figure out what weapons they have left in their arsenal for round two of this trial.
Robert Mintz is a white-collar crime specialist who's a former federal prosecutor and is now in private practice. He says the defense succeeded in getting jurors to question whether Kozlowski and Swartz had criminal intent, but the strategy only worked for one juror.
We may see a defense that tries to explain and educate the jury about the ways of corporate finances and explain that some of these financial arrangements that the defendant had with the corporation were really not that unusual, and there were certain practices that were common at that time that would not be accepted today.
Mintz says the prosecutors need to do a better job of condensing the case, explaining which evidence proves which charges, and undermining any doubt of criminal intent. After a mistrial, Mintz says, both sides typically revisit whether they want to plea bargain. But given this is a New York State case and not federal, there are no country club prisons on offer. So, to plead guilty, the former Tyco executives would have to accept doing time in a place like Sing Sing or Attica. For NPR News, I'm Nancy Solomon.